Acts chapter 2, picking up in verse 41. And what we're following here was Peter had just, they had just asked Peter, what shall we do now that we know that we have rejected our Messiah? And Peter tells them, each one of them, to repent and be identified on the basis of the name of Jesus Christ with the forgiveness of sins, be baptized, be identified with the forgiveness of sins on the basis of the name, repenting on that basis of Jesus Christ. And this is on the basis of his resurrection. And so then in verse 41, it says, therefore, the ones having received his word, what Peter had said, they were baptized, and they were added in that day 3,000 souls. So there were 3,000 who believed and repented in that day. And then verse 42, and they were holding fast to the teaching of the apostles. This idea is they were diligently adhering to the teaching or the doctrine of the apostles, and to fellowship, and to the breaking of bread, and to prayers. And in verse 43, and there was great fear in every soul. And many signs and wonders were done through the apostles. So there's signs and wonders being done. Notice who are doing them. Not anybody, but the apostles. And it says in verse 44, and all the ones believing were upon the same place. They were gathered. They were in a community. And they were having all things in common. And their possessions, their property and possessions, they were selling. And they were distributing them to everyone according as anyone was having need. So we see here they're gathered in the same place, and they're holding all their possessions in common. And they were selling all their possessions, and then from the proceeds of that, they were distributing according as anyone was having need. Now, there's a lot of different groups that say, you know, we really need to get back to what was going on in early Acts. You know, that's what's wrong with the church today. We really need to get back to all that stuff. But none of them ever want to sell all their possessions and live in a commune. Or the ones who've tried, it hasn't worked out very well. But they always seem to forget about this part of it. And so we need to understand this in its context and how it relates. But why were they doing this? You know, did they just decide, that'd be a good idea, we'll just sell all our stuff and have a commune and live off the proceeds? Well, after a while, that's going to run out. I mean, if we did that, that runs out after a while. Sell all your resources, your property, and everything. But why would they do that? They just felt like it. They just thought it was a good idea. Well, in verse 42, what does it say? They were adhering diligently to the doctrine, the teaching of the apostles. And when we look at what people do in terms of their religion or spirituality, it's pretty much based on what they're taught. They're following a teaching. And so if we see them doing this, then we should expect to see that teaching somewhere. And what were the apostles teaching? Well, they were teaching what Christ had taught them during his earthly ministry. And he told them there in when he commissioned them, he said, disciple all the nations, teaching them to keep all the things I have commanded to you. So if they're doing this as a result of teaching, we should see then somewhere this teaching by Jesus to the 12. So let's look. Let's go to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 32. And this is in the context of not worrying about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and so on and so forth. And Jesus gives the example that the birds, they don't work for their food. So why do you need to work for yours? God's going to provide it for you. And then verse 32, then Jesus says, fear not, little flock. There he's talking about his disciples there. Because your Father is well pleased to give to you the kingdom. And he's talked about this future earthly kingdom. And so, since he is giving to you the kingdom, verse 33 says, sell your possessions and give as alms and make for yourselves treasure that will not rust in the heavens, where a thief does not steal and where neither moth corrupt. So here's the teaching. This is a command to them. Sell your possessions. And so those who were the followers of Jesus were to sell their possessions. Now let's go to Luke chapter 18. And here's where Jesus is dealing with the rich young ruler who comes to him and asks him what good thing must he do to have eternal life. And Jesus says to him, you know the commands.
What verse is this?
Oh, sorry, verse 18 and following.
Luke 18:18.
So Jesus says, you know the commands. And verse 21, he says, all these things I have kept out of my youth. I've been keeping the commandments. Then verse 22, Jesus says, having said these things to him, he says, what now do I lack? He says, as much as you have, all things sell and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. So again, there's a command there. You got to keep the law, and then that's because they're still under that dispensation of law, keeping the commandments, and then sell your possessions and follow me. You can't follow Jesus and drag all your possessions along with you here in this context. Now, a lot of people think this is just for the rich young ruler, that he had a problem with his wealth, so Jesus put this requirement on him. But there's no requirement for you and one requirement for me. I mean, for them, you know, for each individual have their own requirement according to what their problem might be. Salvation for one person was the same as salvation for another person. And so here, Jesus is telling him what he needs to do. And he's telling him, you need to sell your possessions. Same thing as he told his disciples. He said, sell your possessions. And now, then let's go to Luke chapter 19. And here, the beginning of the chapter, so Jesus coming into Jerusalem, and this is the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And as Jesus is coming in, and Zacchaeus was a very short little guy, and so he climbed up a tree so he could see Jesus coming in. And Jesus called out to him and said he was going to stay with him that day and lodge with him. And there was grumbling in the crowd that Jesus would stay with a tax collector and not some righteous Pharisee or something. And so he called him. He went out in verse 8. And Zacchaeus, having stood, said to the Lord, behold, half my possessions, Lord, I give to the poor. And if anyone I have cheated or extorted, I will repay fourfold. So here's this Zacchaeus, the tax collector. And he's decided to become a follower of Jesus. Jesus has called him. And what does he say? Half my possessions I'm going to sell and give to the poor. Why would he say that? Why would he just say, oh, I'm going to sell my possessions now? Well, that's what Jesus was teaching. Now, in his case, why would it only be half? Well, Zacchaeus has another problem. He has people he's cheated. As a tax collector, all his money is not his. He extorted it from people for taxes. And so he says, anyone that I have extorted money out of, I will repay fourfold. Why is he going to repay fourfold? That was requirement of the law in Exodus 22. Was a fourfold repayment. And so if Zacchaeus, if only 12% of his wealth was from cheating people, it would take half of his money to pay that fourfold back. So in essence, once Zacchaeus has paid back those he's cheated, then he is selling all his possessions, selling everything. And so, and then also, if we look in Matthew chapter 13 in the parables there, Matthew 13, 44. So in Matthew 13, 44, here Jesus is giving some parables on what the kingdom of the heavens is like. He says, again, the kingdom of the heavens is like a treasure having been hidden in a field, whom a man having found it, he hid, and from the joy he goes, and what does he do? He sells all things, whichever he has, and he buys that field. So again, there's the idea of the kingdom of heaven, the earthly kingdom, come down from heaven, and the idea of selling all your possessions to enter into that kingdom. And then the same thing in verse 45. Again, the kingdom of heavens is like a merchantman seeking good pearls, who having found one pearl of great price, having gone forth, he sold as much as he had, and he bought it. So again, there's the idea of selling all to obtain something else. I think those parables oftentimes are related to Christ giving himself for us, but Jesus didn't sell anything. He made a purchase, but he didn't have to sell anything to do it. Okay, so back in Acts chapter 2. So why were they doing this? This is what the teaching was. That was part of the gospel of the kingdom, was the selling of your possessions. Now why don't we do that today? Because we're not following the gospel of the kingdom. We're not following the teaching of the 12 that was committed to them by Christ. We're following Pauline doctrine, which was given for members of the body of Christ. And what does Paul say? Paul says, work with your own hands, provide so you can provide for yourself, and that you'll have something to share with others. It's not sell everything you have and then mooch off the community until it runs out. And see, they're in Acts, they were looking for that kingdom to come. So those proceeds of that property only had to last so long for them. But they were to devote themselves to that coming, bringing in that coming kingdom. And so they weren't to be out working a job to provide for their own needs, because that's a distraction. You know, Jesus would have said, anybody, you know, Jesus would have called somebody, you know, during his earthly ministry and said, well, I got to give my boss 2 weeks' notice. He would have said, you don't have time for that. Or I got to, you know, pay off this loan first, keep my job. He said, you don't have time for that. And because the kingdom is near. And so it's a whole different scenario and context than what we're in. And so that's the danger here of those who say, oh, we got to get back to what's going on back here in early Acts so we can have that power. Well, that's not where our power is going to come from. And so you get people in here and they just start imitating what they see, and it's not even real. So they think they're doing signs and wonders, and they're really not. Not the same thing. They think they're speaking in tongues, and they're really not. They're not the same thing. So there was great fear. The apostles were doing signs and wonders. About this, the possessions things, Paul talks about it again in chapter 4. We can go ahead to chapter 4 in verse 32. And the number of the ones believing, they were of one heart and soul, and not one of them was saying that his possessions to be his own, but they were having all things common. And with great power the apostles were giving forth the testimony of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and they had great grace was upon all. For neither was anyone existing in need among them, for as many as were having fields or houses, they were selling them, and they were bringing the price of the things having been sold, and they were placing them beside the feet of the apostles, and they were distributing to each according as anyone was having need. So they were selling everything, their property, bringing the money, laying it at the feet of the apostles, and then they were distributing it to those as they had need. And that sets the scene for Ananias and Sapphira following that. So another thing people say, well, this is, if, and when they get into talking about Ananias and Sapphira, they say, well, it was voluntary. You didn't have to if you didn't want to. But chapter 4 makes it clear there was no one was calling anything to be his own. No one means no one, and not anything means not anything. So there were no exceptions. So now then in verse 46, and daily they were continuing with one accord in the temple. So here, daily means every day. So could you? So if they're in the temple every day, holding fast in the temple every day with one accord, and breaking bread house by house and receiving nourishment and gladness, sincerity, heart. If they're doing that every day, they can't have a job. They can't provide for themselves. And so that's the scenario here. That's why part of the teaching is you got to sell everything so we can have enough money to get us through till the Lord returned. And notice they're in the temple, so they haven't given. They're still Jewish, and there's, you know, nothing has changed as far as their view of the Mosaic Law or anything, or of any of that. They're still in the temple. They have not. They're not. They're still under law, but they've received Christ as their Messiah based on his resurrection, and that identifies them with the forgiveness of sins. And so in verse 47, they're praising God and having grace with all the people, or favor, and the Lord added to the ones being saved daily. So here again we see, how is this group growing? The Lord's adding them. The Lord is adding the ones being saved, and daily. And then at the end, in the King James, it says the Lord's adding to the church. The older manuscripts do not have the phrase "those to the church" in there. It's just adding daily. And then it's the later Byzantine manuscripts that have adding to the church daily.